Good morning, everybody. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning. We're going to be reading from Matthew. So Matthew chapter 7, and we're reading verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Well, again, welcome to Christ Central, and a special welcome to those who might be visiting for the first time. And for some time now, we have been working our way through what's known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we're now getting towards the end of it, only 3 weeks to go. Got to say, Jesus is the master teacher. Every good teacher, preacher, knows how to wrap up his message well. Well, Jesus as the master preacher, that's what he's doing right now. And we're going to see that over the next 3 weeks, starting today. But I do want to make the point that over the centuries, there have been many fans of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, many admirers, because they see this as a beautiful, noble picture of the ethical life. A few years ago, even atheist Richard Dawkins, he wrote, Jesus, if he existed, was surely one of the great ethical innovators of history. The Sermon on the Mount is way ahead of its time. Or someone else, Mahatma Gandhi, the pacifist, the Hindu pacifist liberator of modern India, he said, Christ's Sermon on the Mount fills me with bliss even today. Interesting, isn't it? There have been many admirers of this. But here's the thing. They all share this confident view that just humanity, if they would just come to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, then it would make for much more better, more noble, ethical people. And those who talk this way about Jesus' teaching, basically they divorce it from the rest of the Bible, the supernatural, God, theology, the cross of Jesus. They simply have high hopes that if we would just adopt the radical teaching of Jesus, then life in this world would be better. Maybe perhaps you think that way too. But I tell you, that's wrong. We're not supposed to approach this Sermon on the Mount with confidence, but with desperation. Not supposed to come to it with a sense of pride. Hey, look at this virtuous life that we should live, but with a sense of shame. How far do I fall short? I mean, let's be honest. Put your life up against Jesus' teaching. It's impossible. How can we do this? And that's exactly what we should feel. With a sense of need. With a sense of real need. Jesus is telling me this. Well, how can I live that way? And you know, that's how we get to have a relationship with God in the first place. We've come back to the very first line of Jesus' sermon a number of times. I want us to do it again. Flick back to chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3, where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You know, that's the attitude. When you come to the cross of Jesus and you accept that through his death, we're forgiven. That through his death alone, we've been rescued from hell. Simply as I trust that Jesus died for me, that God adopts me into his family. That's the need to come to God in the first place. But even from a place of assurance, yes, I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. Well, a sense of need doesn't go away. To need God to keep changing me. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about today. That's why Jesus in our passage, almost at the end of his sermon, talks about prayer. Because it's the way to express our need. You know, prayer is not for those who consider themselves full in life. Prayer is for those who know that they're empty. Prayer is not for the self-confident. Prayer is for the desperate. All my points today are about prayer. Here's the first point. Pray for what God wants. Look, it's important we start with this because as soon as we read those words like ask and it will be given to you, our thoughts run in all sorts of directions, don't they? You know, this is God's Make-A-Wish Foundation. Yee-haw, get the shopping list out. Sadly, sometimes churches have taught it like this. It's called the prosperity gospel. More faith, more blessing, name it and claim it. I heard a preacher say, with faith you have a winning lottery ticket in your hand, you just don't know it yet. I went to a church once and the pastor was saying, with faith they now have 2 holiday units. I've got to say, I felt so encouraged that day. But this is not what Jesus is saying. This is prayer. This is a spiritual desire, not for a holiday unit, but for Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount to come true in our lives. Now let's retrace a couple of things in this sermon to see this. In your Bibles, go to chapter 5, verse 6. Where Jesus says there, just a line, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The blessed desire hunger. It's not for another holiday unit. It's for Jesus. Now, when you're hungry, nothing else matters really, does it? You know, that becomes your focus. I need that burger. Give me that burger. Well, once you come to know that you're forgiven in Christ, it's blessed to have this need. I want the character of Jesus, his righteousness, to grow in me. Father, please take away my judginess. Father, please take away this fear that I have for the opinion of others. Father, please take away how much anger seems to always get the better of me. That's the blessed attitude that Jesus here is talking about. So see how that desire will actually then come out in prayer? Speaking of prayer, check out what Jesus says about prayer. Check out chapter 6, verse 9. I'll just read a little bit of that. Chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus says, therefore, you should pray like this, our Father in heaven. Your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I mean, there is the bread bit there. Not another holiday home, just bread. Ask for our daily needs. But see how even before that request, this desire that our heavenly Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You've ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Ever wondered what God wants you to do with your life? What does God want me to do? Well, God's telling us here, read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount on what a disciple is supposed to do to keep growing and being more like Christ. That is God's personal will for you. Christian, how much are you hungry to be more like Jesus? How much are you seeking to live out God's will in your life? Now, with that retracing of Jesus' sermon, I hope I'm helping you to see that by the time we get to Jesus' word, 7 verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. But I've helped you to see what this is not. Now, this is not God is our heavenly coin toy machine. You know how those toy machines are there at the shops? I don't know how much they cost these days, but I used to love them as a kid. You know, put in a dollar, it was probably 20 cents back then, and out would come that little plastic Easter egg with a toy inside. So, you know, is this our request? You know, turn the key and out pops your dreams come true. No, it's a prayer for spiritual, an expression of our spiritual need. It's a prayer of desperation. God, make me more like Jesus. It's a prayer with persistence. This is verse 7. I mean, let's look at this verse, verse 7, where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Do you detect a sort of an increasing urgency, an ever-increasing need for action? Ask. You know, seek. Knock on the door. If you ever read someone's friend's post in Facebook that they need to borrow someone's trailer for the weekend, you know, you read that and you go, oh yeah, hopefully someone will help them out. But if that same friend knocks on your door on Friday night and says, can I borrow your trailer for the weekend? You are pinned to the spot, aren't you? Now, what are you going to do? Well, in fact, look up sometime, Luke chapter 11, verse 5, where Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. And then Jesus gives a story of someone knocking on their friend's door in the middle of the night, asking for stuff. See, so shamelessly bold. See, God is inviting us to be shamelessly bold and be persistent. And in the original language, I've got to say, the words have a particular meaning. The Greek language, it indicates not an activity in the past, but a present activity that keeps on going. In other words, keep asking. Keep seeking, keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. We're to never give up on this. Keep on going, persist. You know, I want to say, if you're at the stage of just exploring Christian faith, if you're even just curious about Jesus right now, wonderful. Keep on with that desire to know more about Jesus. It reminds me of a line in Jeremiah 29 where the message is, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek Jesus. God wants to be found. He wants his love to be known. You know, and if you want to talk to me more about this afterwards, I'd love to have a chat with you about how God wants to be found by you. But then for the Christian, it's to keep on seeking and to keep on asking and to keep on knocking. How are you, Christian, are you going at always asking God to make you to be more like Jesus? How much is this your constant prayer? I'll ask, why have you perhaps given up praying like this? You know, persistence, almost pestering God, you know, it requires this ongoing thing. You know, I'm not sure persistence comes easily to any of us. You know, we get distracted, don't we? We get distracted to pray like this. And I'm not even talking about the prayer where you sit down at the side of your bed to pray and then you're sitting down prayer. Very quickly becomes a lying down prayer and a sleepy prayer. No, I'm talking about a bigger sort of distraction than that. You know, maybe when you first became a Christian, you had this real desire, this real zeal to be about God's kingdom, about Jesus. But then, you know, well, what about study to get done? And you want to get married and, you know, you have kids, say, and there's career with the lousy boss and you got the mortgage and then you got retirement plans and life just gets to be a grind and you got to get through. So Jesus just sort of gets lost a bit along the way. I want to say none of those things in life are the opposite to following Jesus. But they do tend to take a toll, don't they? But Jesus is telling us today, let's not be distracted. Let's not give up on putting Christ first in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus is saying, ask, seek, knock. Because when you keep on asking you receive. When you keep on seeking, you find. When you keep on knocking, the door will be opened to you. Here's the next point from Jesus' words here. Pray with confidence. Pray with confidence that God's will is that he wants to answer your prayers. This is verse 9. Jesus says there, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know, I think Jesus is telling us one reason why we don't keep praying with persistence. Maybe because we've just stopped believing that it does anything. Jesus, he wants us to know who our God is. So he goes from the example of the lesser thing of human parents to the greater thing of our Heavenly Father. In verse 11, we have this little sneak peek of the doctrine of total depravity. Jesus says, though you are evil, total depravity says as sinners, we're not as bad as we possibly can be, but every part of us is impacted by our corruption and our sin. So evil people make for loving parents. And we don't hand our kids a rock for breakfast and say, put some Vegemite on that, son. No, we give good gifts to our children. Though I have seen the cruel pranks on YouTube where a kid excitedly opens up a box on Christmas Day and it turns out to be not what he expected. You know, if your son asks for an iPhone, will you give him some underwear? Apparently it does happen sometimes. But Jesus moves from the standard normal love shown by a parent to our Heavenly Father. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now just remember, what are the good gifts? Not iPhones, not holiday units, but to grow in godliness, holiness, to be more like Jesus, to be more about God's will, his kingdom. That's God's good gift that we should ask for. Maybe our issue is we doubt that God really does have our good at the center of his heart. And it wouldn't help if we had a lousy dad, so we might transfer that to our heavenly dad. But I think every Christian sometimes, we doubt the goodness of God. Maybe because we just keep struggling, because we're facing real suffering. How could a good, loving, heavenly Father who's supposed to give good gifts allow this to happen to me? Maybe even we want internal spiritual change, but we're just not seeing it like we want to. And look, I don't know all the answers to this, but Jesus is giving us a promise. I'll put it like this. You know, we all know pestering children, don't we? We have been that child. Or we've had children like that. You know, for the parents here, you know, been those moments where your children have just whinged, maybe for that thing at the shops, maybe for a lolly or chocolate, whatever, and you're tired and you're frustrated and maybe you're just a little bit embarrassed as well and you just want to get out of the shops as quickly as you can, so you just give in and you just give it to them. You know, pester power really does work. That's why they have racks of these things at the checkout. That's why Macca's puts their golden arches as high on a post as they possibly can. Pester power works. But it's not always the case that what the child wants is what the child should have. You know, as parents, we're weak and we want to have some peace and quiet. Leave me alone. Have some sugar. My point is, our Heavenly Father does want us to come to him in prayer and ask for good things. It's just that our Heavenly Father knows what's good for us. He's not going to give us stuff just to shut us up. He's going to give us what we need. So when we pray, his loving response might be no. His loving response might be not yet. His loving response might be yes, but in a completely different way than you expect. His loving response might be yes, and here it is straight away. God is our Heavenly Father, and He loves to give us good things. So let's pray. Maybe you're feeling discouraged about God's ability to help you. Maybe you're feeling very let down by Him. But I want you to know that God is our Father who loves us. He is the most adoring, besotted Father whose love for us is at the center of His being. He's given us His Son, and He wants to continue to give good gifts to us. So let's pray. Maybe our first prayer needs to be, Father, help me to pray. Help me to pray. Help me to desire the sort of good gifts You long to give me. There's one more point now, and that is pray and do. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Verse 12, He's told us to pray for good gifts, to be about Jesus, to be about God's kingdom. And He commands us to do, basically, to live out these good gifts. Make those good gifts a gift for others. He says, verse 12, let's have a look at verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So this is God's, it's been called God's golden rule. It's like Jesus' ultimate answer for what good living looks like. You know, all the prophets and the law basically come down to this thing. If you check over chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus already spoken about the law and the prophets. See, you know, all the writings of this book, all the writings of the book, all that detail comes down to this one thing: do to others as you would have them do to you. Take note, Jesus isn't saying don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. You know, you wouldn't want someone to punch you in the head, so don't go punching people in the head, all right? That's sort of easy. And if that's all Jesus tells us, don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you, it would be sort of this pale, washed out, insipid, sort of powerless way of relating to people, so limited, but Jesus commands the opposite. It's creative, it's initiative-taking. It's not keep to yourself, draw a line, don't step over. This is take many steps towards others. Do you like it when people show appreciation of you? So show appreciation to someone else. Do you like it when someone is actually generous with their resources towards you? Well, be generous towards others around you. Do you like it when someone just walks up to you and is friendly and welcoming? Well, take those steps in being welcoming to others. See, this is not some nice, neat subtraction so you can stay in the rules. This is creative, sacrificial addition so you can love someone else. Jesus said we should pray for good gifts. And now Jesus is telling us, let's give good gifts. Pray and then do. If you earnestly desire and pray to be more like Jesus, don't be surprised that God is going to answer that prayer in your life. Have you heard the story of the treasure of Tutankhamun? It was found by British archaeologist Howard Carter. Howard Carter was on this 6-year search for this treasure. In the Valley of the Kings in Egypt, everyone else thought that whole place had been picked empty by other archaeologists and tourists and grave robbers. Nothing left. But Howard Carter, he financed himself. He was convinced there was one more tomb to discover. During his 6-year search, apparently there was 2 times when he was 2 meters away from the first stone step he needed to get to that would take him down to the chamber. He kept searching, kept digging. He was persisting. Then one day he finally found that first step. Came into the burial chamber and his assistant yelled out to him, "Can you see anything?" And Howard Carter, well, what did he see? Just unimaginable, priceless wealth, statues and chests and chariots and vases and jewels, a throne, a carved coffin. the world's most exciting archaeological treasure brought about because of one man's persistence. Well, how much greater treasure? Forget some gold. How much greater treasure if we would persist? If we would persist in asking for God's treasure to come true in our lives? This is what Jesus is asking us to do. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We have a Father who wants to give. We have a Father who wants to give good gifts of changing our lives. That we would be more about God and less about ourselves. That's really the good gift. And as we desire that gift, and given that gift, we really can share that gift with others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer now. Father, we confess we so easily give up. Father, you know how so easily we give up. For all sorts of reasons, we doubt. We've just gotten distracted. So, Father, turn our hearts back to you once again, that we would earnestly desire, that we would have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we would seek your kingdom. Also, Father, do that work in us. By your Spirit, may that be our earnest desire right now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day after that. So, Father, please change us. Please help us to be more like Christ. You know our sin. You know we're about ourselves. Oh, so, Father, please work in us so there would be more about following Christ in every nook and cranny of life. And so, Father, we pray that as you graciously change us and that we experience that gift, Father, indeed, that we would share these gifts with others in love. Help us to do that even today, tomorrow, and the next day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.